Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Green and Growing with Ashley Frasca.
Plants, flowers, trees, and stuff. Brought to you by Pike Nurseries
on 95.5 WSB.
Welcome to your Saturday morning. I'm your host, Ashley Frasca. You know, really want to thank you for continuing to listen to 95.5 WSB. You know that we are always here for you, have been all last week and the week before with all that's going on in the news. So we're going to have a fun show today. We're going to talk about gardening, of course, but a lot of things ahead for you. We're going to have Walter Wonders, of course, our weekly segment coming up at 6:30 with a plant quiz. Walter's going to quiz myself and a traffic colleague. We'll see how we do with that. And in the 7 o'clock hour, an interview that I've spent a lot of time putting together for you, kind of consumer protection, how to protect yourself from bad landscapers and from bad lawn care companies. So I'll have some friends from the Urban Ag Council and Gwinnett Tech join me for that. And stay tuned at 8:30, a fun game show. If you're a fan of a $100,000 pyramid, you'll definitely have fun playing along. I want you to stay listening for 3 hours to Green and Growing. To start the show off, we'll take calls 404-872-0750. First up, Crystal in Cartersville. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Ashley. How are you?
I am great. I'm having a blast today.
My question is about moss, if you have just a moment. Most people seem to try to get rid of it. We bought a house that has a pretty substantial area that has beautiful, thick moss that my kids love to run around on. We have noticed that some areas grow better than other areas, and I have never attempted to keep it. So I have no idea what would be a good plan of action to try to get the areas to all fill in so it's nice and lush everywhere.
I'm envious because as soon as you said the kids running around, and I mean, I think moss is the best. It's soft, it stays in place, it's green, it's beautiful. So it really needs three ideal things, Crystal, to have success there. And it's probably growing there because of this dense clay soil, which we know we've got Georgia red clay, but compacted, and it just probably hasn't been tilled or nothing's been done to it in a long time. And it's shady, and it's just an area, whether it's low-lying or because of the shade, it stays moist. So all three of those conditions are ideal. So actually, it may be easier than you think to make it spread. It takes a while to spread. It's not like a grass that's going to shoot off runners and spread that quickly, but it's easy to transplant. If someone has it in their yard that doesn't want it, you can get a square bladed shovel and just scoop it up almost like sod pieces. And it's just easy to transplant in a sense, just place it right where it needs to be and it'll take hold. There's a lot of things online, Pinterest and places like that. People swear by buttermilk, putting existing moss and buttermilk into a blender and doing all kinds of things. You'll get mixed reviews. A lot of gardeners swear by it. Some say that that only works in really high humidity areas, which I don't know. I mean, at certain times of the year, Georgia could be high humidity, but that's worth a day of science experiment with the kids if you wanted to do that. But otherwise, just take it where it's really dense in some places and dig up a few little patches, maybe like a 3x3 patch if you can, and just kind of start to move some around like carpet pieces and see if it spreads.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah.
Have a great day.
You too. I really appreciate the call. That's so fun. I can just see Crystal's kids running around on the moss. That's really a nice like little spring and summer image. Michael in Douglasville, you're on Green and Growing. Good morning.
Good morning. I went to Pike's Nursery last week. I bought two apple trees. It's the first time I've ever bought apple trees. Ooh. One of them was a Sweet and Delicious, and the other one, it was a Granny Smith. And I planted them last week about 10 feet apart, and I've never planted them before, and I was hoping I did everything right. And I was just wanting to know how long it usually takes before you could actually see some progress, because I went out in the backyard yesterday, and I've got a green leaf already coming out on this apple tree.
That
kind of surprised me and everything.
That is really exciting. Okay, so first of all, 6 feet is ideal for spacing for apple trees. I like the fact that you got two different varieties for pollination and just for, you know, different tastes and things like that. Now, the bad news, and I won't say bad news necessarily, but it could take up to 4 years, maybe 5 years before they start bearing fruit. And has anyone ever told you about how important it is to prune them? Do you know anything about the pruning regimen to go through?
No, I don't.
So I'm going to give you a great resource because, Michael, this is almost going to become a hobby for you if you're really serious about this. You'll see, you know, apple trees and fruit trees that have just been left for years and years and years, and the limbs are crossing and they're just everywhere. And that is not ideal for good fruit production at all. So right as you buy that, there's something you head the main stem, like you, it's almost like you're cutting off the top of the main stem of that apple tree. And I know that seems kind of counterintuitive, but that's one of the first things you do as you plant that. And fall would have been ideal, and now that you're, you know, you planted it recently and it is warming up, it's more of a burden on you to just make sure it stays watered. But I think you're going to do that. You sound pretty dedicated, right?
Yeah, I am. Well, there was the lady at Pike's Nursery told me, she said, well, you need to put it to where it will get a lot of sunlight.
Yes.
So I did that, and I watered it and everything. And I was going to buy two sweet and delicious apple trees just alike. And she said, no, she said, you got to buy two varieties, because if you don't, it won't produce as good as it will if you had two varieties. So I went ahead and got a sweet and delicious and a Granny Smith and planted them.
That's great. I think you did very well. So yeah, you're doing great. And you know, you're going to watch the soil moisture and all of that. So what I want you to do is print off this one page. It's very, very simple, but it's got great diagrams that can explain pruning much better to you than I can. Go to extension.uga.edu, the extension offices for the University of Georgia, extension.uga.edu. And all you type is apple. And there's going to be this great diagram to show you what to expect and how to prune the branches and like the ideal shape that these apple trees need to be so that, you know, it doesn't, you know, promote pests and things. And also a lot of sunlight's going to be able to get in there. So, yeah, you'll see flowering and all of that. But I would give it 4 to 5 years before you expect any fruit production. But it can be done. I promise. Peg and Tucker, good morning.
Good morning, Ashley. I was over at Pike's the other day getting a tree identified.
Uh-huh.
It's the first one that comes up, blooms in the spring, and it's called a quince.
Yes, a flowering quince.
It's a beautiful color.
Aren't those gorgeous? And now, did you get one?
Well, I have one that I was trying to figure out how to take care of. The lady helped me out a lot, and she explained the different varieties. So I didn't get one then. I'm kind of on a budget, and I did want to offer to any of your listeners who are on a budget, if they want to plant a tree, they can come over to my yard and get an acorn.
And they'll have their very own oak tree, won't they?
Start from seed.
That's right, and that is kind of cool to watch that happen. Well, so, Peg, also I can recommend to you, I mean, Pike Nursery is a great place to get a tree, as we all know, but they have a lifetime guarantee on trees and shrubs, so if you mess it up, if some freak of nature happens to the tree, that's kind of an insurance policy for you. Have you ever seen the fruit to a quince?
There are two different kinds of quince. One of them has fruit and one of them doesn't.
Yeah, one's just flowering, and they've got beautiful white flowers, sometimes pink, but for those of you who plant quince for the fruit, it's like a really ugly, misshapen lemon, almost, you know, like a pear and a lemon kind of crossed together is what it looks like. But yeah, Peg, you think on it and you let us know. Now, have you planted trees in your landscape before, though?
I have.
So you'd consider yourself pretty knowledgeable on how to do that, right?
No.
Well, did they live?
Well, one a long time ago lived. It was a Christmas tree.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was in burlap.
And
yeah.
You took the burlap off, right? You
and
didn't put
we,
that in the ground.
We dug and dug and dug and dug.
Ooh, I hear you.
But it lived. It lived and it grew and it was there forever.
Great. Well, hey, Peg, thank you for checking in. I really appreciate you taking the time to call this morning.
And thank you, Ashley, for being there.
Thanks. Have a great weekend. 404-872-0750. Up to Cobb County in Marietta. Good morning, Marcia. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
You've got a great question. What can we help you with?
Yes, I have my peace lily, and it has brown on the very tips of the leaves. Plus, when I water it, it's always wet. It doesn't dry out, it doesn't seem. And I water it like once every 3 weeks, and
wow.
I water it about 22 ounces or something.
Okay, how big of a pot is it in? Is it in like maybe?
It's in the pot that I bought it in. That's what I was wondering if I need to put it in a different pot. It's about 10 inches in diameter.
Okay, yeah, I would guess a one-gallon pot or maybe a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
So spathiphyllum, peace lily, a lot of folks recognize these houseplants. Dark green, beautiful, shiny leaves. Of course, it has the white little flower that comes up from it. So medium to low light. Do you have it in the right light setting,
yeah,
first of all?
Yeah, low light.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good. Yes, they can definitely tolerate a low light situation. And the brown at the tips of the leaves, as soon as you said that, that is key with most houseplants characteristics. Of too much water, and as you've identified properly, the soil staying wet,
yeah,
as well. So overwatering is the most common cause of death with peace lilies, Marcia. And 3 weeks, I mean, that I like that you're not, I mean, that's a pretty wide spacing to me to be watering,
yeah.
But just, I mean, the best thing is just our finger, you know, sticking your finger in the soil and making sure the soil is completely dried out before you water. So you may even want to go to once a month, but you just kind of have to check. Peace lilies are really hard to keep on you don't want necessarily a consistent watering regimen with peace lilies. It's just kind of a touch and go kind of situation, and you need to feel out the soil. But do you have any tray underneath it that's keeping, you know, like, is stagnant water sitting underneath in a tray, because the plant will wick up any water that's down there below it? And is everything dry and taken
well,
care of?
Well, I've got it in a bigger pot. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I got it just setting in a huge pot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's in an empty pot. So there is that tray that's catching the water.
Okay. And we could repot it, because honestly, if it's in too big of a pot, you may want to go a little bit smaller, because that's going to, you know, bring the soil content down a little bit if it's in the properly sized pot. So that, I would think about that, and definitely waiting for the soil to completely dry out in between waterings too. They're very drought tolerant, and actually what a lot of folks successfully do, if it's in a room that you pass by every single day and you see it every day, if you start to notice that it's drooping, that's going to be an indication of when it needs water, and that's okay. That's okay to let it get to the very brink.
Oh, okay.
You know, you walk by it tomorrow and see, oh gosh, it's drooping. You're not going to, you know, risk killing it if you water it right away, but that's how it's going to tell you that it needs water. But yeah, those brown tips on the leaves, it is retaining too much water. So let's start with repotting it, putting it in a little bit smaller pot, and get off the three-week regimen. Just really do it when it needs it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because what I've been doing is testing the soil with my finger, and then if it was wet, like if it was dry for like an inch or something, I would water it.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it needs to be drier, right? The soil deeper down?
Yeah, you could stick your finger further down, but like I said, that was key for me to ask kind of what was going on underneath,
right?
You know, because if the top of the soil is dry, that's just the air blowing around in your house and the vents and things.
Okay.
But if the bottom soil is staying wet, that kind of maybe indicated to me it was wicking it up from, you know, a plastic tray that was staying wet or whatever. So keep everything dry around it and repot it, and definitely check back with me and let me know how that works out. And maybe, you know, introduce some fresh soil as well, too. If that soil has just stayed so soggy, you may want to just toss it out and put some new potting soil in there.
Oh, okay. Because it's in an empty pot's what it is. I got the pot that I bought it in, and I put it in a bigger empty pot.
Okay, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, some water may be staying in the bottom of that pot.
That's got the water in it, probably.
Yep, probably. So, yeah, take it out of that, you know, the planting container and put it in a smaller pot.
And put it in just one pot.
Yep,
okay.
That's great. Thank you, Marcia.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Have a good Saturday morning. 404-872-0750. We will be back on Green and Growing right after this.
Self-isolation never sounded so good. Listen to Atlanta's news and talk while you're at home on the WSB radio app, or tell your smart speaker, play 95.5 WSB.
This is Kirk Mullers with Atlanta's most accurate and dependable forecast this afternoon. Mostly to partly cloudy, highs 82 to 84, low 66. Tomorrow, a 30% chance of a light shower in the morning, mostly cloudy, high 76. Monday, mostly cloudy, high 71, low 55.
Thank you so much for that weather update. Weather is sponsored by Finley Roofing here on Green and Growing on 95.5 WSB. You know, the weather and gardening go hand in hand so closely. In the next hour, I talk to Channel 2 Action News meteorologist Katie Walls as my celebrity gardener. And we kind of discussed that tie-in. You know, so much of what us gardeners are able to do, of course, depends on the weather. And speaking of, I know you're itching to get out in the yard this weekend. Everyone is so ready for spring. So let's do this.
Green and Growing!
Green and Growing with Ashley Frasca. Here's your garden to-do list this week.
One of the things about this show that was very important to me was just getting back to garden basics. I admit I get a little overwhelmed in the yard sometimes, and you just seem to get overwhelmed or intimidated by the things you don't know. So that's what we try to do every Saturday on the show, is kind of help keep you in line and make sure you're just doing a little bit at a time and you're learning as you go. So first of all, want to examine the backside of a lot of your shrubs. That could be euonymus shrubs, camellia. Most of those are done blooming, but this is the time scale insects are going to be born. The little babies are going to hatch, and you don't want scale. Wax scale and tea scale are a couple of common ones. You know, in areas like Florida, they have purple scale, brown scale. Our little guys are generally, when they're babies, they're like orange, but then when they get a little more mature, they're white. That is very easy to often see on the stems or the underside of the leaves. What you want to do is get ahead of it and start spraying with a horticultural oil if the pests are already present or you just see the beginnings of them on the plants. Because what they're going to do, they suck the sap out of the leaves, and that leads to the plant dying. You know, a few years ago, I had a sky pencil holly on either side of my front door, and just each long skinny stem one by one started turning brown, and I didn't get ahead of the scale. That's exactly what killed it. So horticultural oil is going to be the best, and it kind of breaks down that waxy coating that the insects have. And then they release something, the black, like sooty mold is what we call it. And so then you see the black on the backsides of the leaves too. So anyways, yeah, do that. And also, speaking of camellia, you could also be removing spent camellia blooms that have fallen onto the ground. Go ahead and remove those from around the bush. That prevents camellia petal blight. So maybe get out there with a 5-gallon bucket and do that. Secondly, last chance to prune rose bushes to approximately one half of their present size. You know, with my knockouts, I usually go back to where they're just 12 inches high. I mean, they look so ugly, but they're ready. They've already got, you know, dark, dark red, new growth, and even some leaves on them. They're ready to go. I posted a video on Facebook a few weeks ago. My poor husband had to film just such a menial task of me pruning the knockout roses. But I think it'll kind of help guide you, at least not going in there all willy-nilly with the pruners, but really having some structure to how you do that. And lastly, this is kind of a tricky one. Repot houseplants that you want to move outdoors. There are a lot that like the bright light, not direct sunlight, but bright light. So roots will need more room in the pot as they want to grow a little more rapidly in the sun. So the plant that you're taking outside now, like at the end of March, boy, by the time you bring it back in, maybe in September, October, it's going to be a lot bigger. Maybe ZZ plant. Croton is what I love. That is so common down in Florida. Monstera, those could get huge. A Swiss cheese plant, those get really tall. So you may want to think about staking those or have something to help those stand up. But let's talk about repotting it, though, repotting the house plants. Before you move them outdoors, you want them to be in their best ideal conditions, right? So generally, step one, only move up to 1-inch larger pot. So if you've got it in a 6-inch pot, look for like a 7-inch pot. Don't go too big. Break up the roots if they've become root bound or if they started to get roots growing outside the drainage holes. You know, you want to be aware of that. And then use a good potting soil, a clean pot and clean potting soil out of the bag rather than garden soil, just because the drainage is going to be a little bit better for it, really. And also don't plant it too deeply. So you want to build that up with some soil, then put the plant in there, then keep building it up around the sides and maybe have the top of the root ball like about a maybe 1/2 inch below the top rim of the pot. And then you also want to make sure to cover the root ball right there where the leaves grow out or the stem grows out. Cover that with soil too. You don't want to leave anything exposed. We're going to take a break and we'll be back on Green and Growing 95.5 WSB.
It's Green and Growing with Ashley Frasca.
Plants, flowers, trees, and stuff. Brought to you by Pike Nurseries.
On 95.5 WSB.
Welcome back to Green and Growing here on 95.5 WSB. Good Saturday morning to you. Always thrilled this part of the show to have my colleague Walter Reeves back in studio with me. Walter, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ash.
So this is where we do Walter Wonders, and we've had you back in week after week after week, and we brought someone extra today.
Alex.
Hello, hello. Good morning, everybody.
From the traffic team, ladies and gentlemen. So what got you out of bed early on a Saturday morning?
If you ask, I come.
That's right. She's here.
So what a trio we have here. So I don't think we ever all three worked together. You didn't really ever do traffic on Saturday mornings, did you?
Nah, for a little bit. Not much, though.
Yeah. So, all right. So here's what got us together, folks.
Yes.
A plant quiz.
Yeah.
And who put this quiz together?
Me.
So you're putting us on the spot.
I'm going to see how much you and Alex know about where plants come from.
Where do babies come from?
No comparison. This is informational, educational, humorous.
All right.
No pressure. My hands are already starting to sweat.
We'll give it a go.
All right. Lay it on us, Walter.
All right. Ashley, first, we know that the peach is the state fruit, I guess you call it. Georgia is known as the peach state, et cetera. Where did the peach originate?
Hmm.
What country? What part of the world? Where? No looking it up.
No, that was my ring. Like I was buzzing in. Like I know. That was a terrible buzz.
It was a terrible
buzz. Okay. Originated country or state?
Country.
Holland. That's a terrible guess.
That's a terrible guess. Alex, do better than that. Peach.
Venezuela.
Oh, Lord. It's even worse. Oh, my God.
Are we even on the right continent?
No. Okay. You're not even right. China. Of all places, the peaches came from China. Yeah.
Okay.
How did they get to America? I have no idea. But somehow, somewhere, the plant explorers of 1492 decided, oh, this is a cute little fruit. Let's take it to America and plant it there in Georgia. It looked like you could grow a lot of peaches. And so they planted it in Georgia. And Georgia at one time, of course, was the highest peach-producing state in the country. But no longer do they do that.
And Walter, and Alex, too, we'll learn you a little something this morning. For people that have home orchards, especially in Georgia, growing peach trees aren't as easy as you would think. It's a lot of maintenance. Like you've got to spray it at the right times to protect against disease and insects.
Yeah.
And pruning is always a thing you got to do too. So it's kind of misleading.
Takes some dedication.
It does.
The peach state is not suited as well as it should be to be growing peaches.
Right. Alex, what have you ever pruned?
What have I ever pruned?
Yeah.
Next question, please.
All right, next question, please. Alex, we know that Georgia is a great producer of peanuts. Where did peanuts come from?
Same way here, guessing the country?
The country, yeah.
Let's go with Ireland.
Oh.
What about Ireland ever brought peanuts to your mind? Alex, did you just wake up or something?
Yes.
Yes, that must be it.
It is early on
Saturday.
Actually,
better than that, where did peanuts come from?
My thought process is going to be, there are a lot of monkeys in South America.
And
maybe monkeys like peanuts.
True,
so I'm going to go with Colombia.
I'm going to give you South America, and you're right.
Yes.
Oh, look at that.
Go with it. Peanuts, South America. That's exactly right.
Colombia is one of the biggest countries there, so I just figured land space.
It doesn't have anything to do with monkeys, as far as I know. But peanuts, South America.
But the logic of how it got there.
Sounds good.
So what country?
Brazil, Bolivia, places like that.
Wow.
All right. We know that here's a foodstuff for us. We know that a lot of Italian dishes have tomatoes in them. Where are tomatoes from? Ashley Frasca, where are tomatoes? Where did they originate?
Thousands of years ago.
Long ago.
Well, you just said Italian food, so I'm going to go with Italy.
No.
That wasn't a hint? A really obvious hint?
No.
No? Okay.
No. Alex Williams, where did tomatoes come from?
Tomatoes. Let's see. I am going to go with Germany.
Law, you two. You two. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, we're so bad.
You could not be wronger.
Wronger.
Is that a word? You could not be wronger.
In this case,
absolutely. Tomatoes, South America.
Oh.
South America again. And how did tomatoes get from South America to Italy? Again, Columbus said, oh, look, this cute little red thing right here. It looks poisonous to me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take it to Italy. And in Italy, they waited a couple hundred years before they would even taste it. But then when they did taste it, they thought, man, this would be good with dough, pizza, lasagna, spaghetti, all those things, tomatoes from South America.
I love tomatoes.
Oh, yeah, sure. In everything.
Sure, sure, sure.
So tell me then, with South America being the theme just then, yeah, with tomatoes and peanuts, is there any common thread in how those two things in particular are grown, that they're both successful in that region?
Not to my knowledge, other than it's just a good, South America has arid as well as humid environments, and so you got a lot of things that could grow, potentially could grow and become, you know, healthy big plants and feed us, I guess. I don't know much more than that.
Okay.
All right.
Well, it says, Alex, you like the hints out here. Where did Irish potatoes come from?
Oh, my gosh.
Ireland.
No.
Come
Ashley,
on.
Ashley.
A potato
Ashley,
famine
Ashley.
And all of that.
You yeah, right. Yeah. Thing.
Potatoes. Yeah. I'm going to go with, this is really, like, I can't even name a country that would make sense. Germany. Oh, no.
South America.
Okay.
Once again, South America.
I'm guessing South America. So where did they get the name Irish potatoes?
I have no idea. I mean, they're white. A lot of people in Ireland are white-skinned people.
There you go.
Maybe. All right. Maybe.
You know what I'm doing this month, as a matter of fact?
Yeah.
What you've told me for years, taking a Rubbermaid bin.
Yeah.
You cut holes in the bottom of just a big Rubbermaid bin, fill it with perlite, which is like white, foamy, styrofoamy looking stuff.
Right.
Perlite's
yeah,
a good growing medium. And you take a potato and let it just stay in your pantry and grow eyes, you know, when it starts getting spuds on it. Cube those eyes off and cut the potato in pieces, stick them in the perlite in the Rubbermaid bin, keep it outside, let it get rained on, let it do all this.
Yep.
And I'm going to have me some potatoes.
They'll grow that thing like you would not believe. A big old tater bin. And you just dump it out on a tarp or on your patio, and you get all these clean little white potatoes that you can eat right there.
See, that seems much easier than the peaches.
Yeah, and you don't get soil on your hands. You don't get dirty. You don't need, you know, to put them in the ground. So, yeah, did I leave out a step, or is that?
I think you got it.
Yeah, okay. I'm there.
You cover them up as it grows in the bin. You cover them up every 2 weeks.
Keep mounding up against the stalk. Okay.
All right, now a question, Frasca.
Okay.
Give me any fruit or nut or edible thing that originated in North America. Silence fills the room.
Philly cheesesteak.
I'm talking on a plant, you know. Philly cheesesteak is a good guess. Close, but no.
Oh, blueberries.
Darn, she's got one. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Blueberries, native to North America.
Wild. They started off wild,
in
woodsy
little
areas.
Tiny little bitty things. And then, you know, farmers would take them and breed them back and forth with each other to make larger fruit. And so now you got large, you know, big blueberries. But yeah, originally they were native to North America.
All right.
Yeah, you got it.
Let Alex maybe try to think of one, but give him like the direct him if there's a fruit or a vegetable or a nut or something.
Yeah. All right. Alex, category nut.
All right.
Category Georgia grows a heck of a lot of them. Category, I'm not going to give you more hints than that.
I have two that I'm thinking of.
All right.
I'm going to go with the pecan.
First time
yes.
a man got
well,
one
yes.
right
yes.
there. Best bump for Alex. That's exactly right. Pecan.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Native to, or, you know, part of North America, probably Illinois, Mid-America is where the pecan came from over there. Name a wild fruit, Ashley Fresco, that is native to North America. A wild fruit, grows in trees. Possums love them. And you know how I love possums, but possums.
Grows on trees?
It grows on trees. It's a fruit. And possums absolutely love them.
Do you have one around that I can ask?
A possum. Let me think.
Excuse me.
Petunia.
Excuse me, sir.
No possums.
I mean, that shot out every fruit that I was going to guess because I was thinking shrubs, bushes. Oh, my gosh.
All right, Alex. You look a little bit like, she can get that. But what do you think, Alex?
And it's a fruit?
It's a fruit, yeah.
Cherries.
No.
Oh.
That's a good guess, though.
Good guess. Persimmons.
Oh.
Yeah, possums love to get up the persimmon tree and eat persimmons all night long. Underneath, you see possum poop full of persimmon seed. And
so that's how new trees get sprouted.
There you go.
Interestingly enough, there are both American and Asian persimmons, and that is because back long ago when the world was one great huge continent, it split. And so this tree that was producing something like a persimmon split apart. Part of the genus of the species went to China.
Right.
And part of it stayed here in America. So you now have two different kinds of persimmons, a large fruited Asian persimmon, big fist-sized things, and a small fruited American persimmon.
And there you go.
Both out of
all right.
Yeah.
And you've never eaten a persimmon?
I have not.
Me neither. So we're together on that.
One or two last ones, common fruits, another fruit, tree, and you use it to make a pie, a very delicious pie. In fact, I'll tell you, apple pie, where's it come from? Where's the apple come from?
Is this still countries?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Canada.
I'll tell you another clue. It's a Stan.
A what?
A country whose name ends in Stan.
Kazakhstan.
Alex, you're the man. You got that's exactly right. No, Kazakhstan. Not Uzbekistan. Kazakhstan.
No, that's not
for
right.
For real.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
There you go.
He is right.
Oh, sheesh. All right. I owe Alex something for that. That was actually really good. I didn't even know that was a real country. I thought that was a made-up name.
Oh, God. We'll do geography next week.
Yeah. Will you come back for a geography lesson? Well, Walter, hold that thought. I want a couple of final questions from you.
Yes.
But we've got to take a break. We're going to step out and check traffic and weather, and we'll be back on Green and Growing. You're listening to 95.5 WS.
You may have to work from home, but who says you can't have your friends over? Listen to Eric Von Hessler, Eric Erickson, and Mark Arum live on your smart speaker. Tell your device, play 95.5 WSB.
I'm WSB meteorologist Kirk Mullers with Atlanta's most accurate dependable forecast this afternoon. Mostly to partly cloudy, highs 82 to 84, low 66. Tomorrow, a 30% chance of a light shower in the morning, mostly cloudy, highs 76. Monday, mostly cloudy, high 71, low 55.
Okay, so we've got Walter Reeves and Alex Williams in studio. We're back on Green and Growing, and Alex, we're doing a plant origin quiz.
And I'm doing better than I thought.
I was going to say, are we mentally keeping score? I think we're both kind of close, like 3-3 maybe.
You are. Yeah, like both 2-3, something like that.
Yeah.
You're super.
So, right, Walter, so you're stumping us.
A couple of easy ones. Oranges. Citrus plants of generally where
somewhere
they come from?
Near the equator, which is warm.
Yeah.
Tropical place.
But remember, some countries go from the equator over to cold places too, so it could be all over the place. Some countries are great, big, huge, wide places that have both hot and cold.
I'm going to go with Spain.
Climates. Try Alex. Oranges.
Greece.
Ooh. I like that guess better than Spain.
Both of them just equally wrong. That's good. They're both equally. China.
Oh.
I don't know. China. Why aren't you
from China? China?
Everything
oranges comes
from there.
From China. What's the guy in China? See, that's why I gave you the hint. It could be some places both warm and cold, which China, of course, is warm and cold.
Okay. In
Tibet. Places like that.
China's landscape, I mean, it's such a huge country, but think they've got everything. They've got mountains, valleys, little bit of water, just everything, right? So that makes it, again, a
good place, like South America, a place where a lot of plants can grow and a lot of people, too. And people, of course, are there to eat the plants, basically, to find things that are edible to support their villages and their families and things like that.
Wow.
You want one last one?
One more for us.
All right, one last one. And this is the easy one because we all three love it. Chocolate. Alex, where does the ingredients for a Snicker bar or Hershey Kiss?
Holland.
It's a good guess. Fresca?
You've been on a garden tour to a country where you brought me back chocolate.
I did. It was Holland, and it was wrong.
It was Holland?
It was Holland, but that's not where they originated
from.
It was his answer,
it was
but
my
it
guess.
Was wrong.
Oh, I thought maybe it was Vietnam, and then I was, okay. Where does chocolate come from? Chocolate grows from a bean?
Yes, you say that, a pod that has a bean inside, yeah.
Okay, kind of like coffee.
Yeah, kind of like coffee, okay. Exactly.
So chocolate comes from, Brazil, Venezuela.
Central America. I'm going to give it to you.
Okay.
I think you're right. Central America chocolate. Yes.
Okay.
That's where it comes from.
Nice.
And they have the pie. They take the bean out. They ferment it. They roast it and then grind it up and make chocolate. Add a little sugar to make it sweet. There you go, chocolate.
Have you been there on a tour?
I've not been to that part of Central America or South America. I've been to Costa Rica. They grow chocolate there. I've been to other countries that have it as well.
Alex, who knew you'd find yourself on a garden show?
Not me. But it was fun. I enjoyed doing it. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you for coming in. And Walter, thanks for being part of the show. As always, we'll talk to you next Saturday.
Looking forward to it.
So coming up in the next hour of the show, as we have promised, protecting yourself and your wallet, much like Clark Howard does, from bad landscape companies. A lot of you use them, whether it's because you don't have the time or you just don't know how to maintain that lawn of yours. But I want to make sure you stay protected. So we called in folks from the Urban Ag Council, and they're going to give us some tips and some advice on just making sure that you can stay on top of the things that are being done to treat your lawn. All of that and more coming up on Green and Growing, 95.5 WSB.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.